This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
Hour number two of the program. Chris Thomas with you till 10. Turtle. And yeah, I'm heated tonight, guys. Ladies and gentlemen of the great city of Atlanta and the great state of Georgia, your boy is heated. Because, guys, he doesn't deserve a pass. I'm sorry. Kirk Cousins does not deserve your sympathy or mine or Dom's and especially Abe's. Abe got me fired up today, man. So much so that me and him just discussed it, sort of politely on the air. No, I actually was hoping he'd be a little more a little more begrudging of what I had to say about him. Me and Abe got into it once on the air. So we did, Dom, I don't know if you remember, and we're going to get to your calls, by the way. I see you, 404-726-0929, just 1 second after I tell this story. So do you remember last April, when we did the April Fool's Day joke and we shuffled all the lineups?
Yes, yes.
So Mike Conti decided to put me, Abe, and Drew Butler together. And me and Abe got into it over something. I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was about trading the Falcons draft, because this was right before the draft. It was about potentially trading the Falcons pick. And Abe was...
because he wasn't Abe in the camp of trading
Abe was in the camp of trading it. And
back.
Drew
yes.
and I were like, no, dude, yep. don't trade it. You're picking eighth.
Jared Verse.
Take the best defensive player available. Because at this point, Kirk was locked in as the quarterback. You were going to take who would have gone on to be the defensive rookie of the year, and you would have been rolling. And me and him got into it pretty good. So much so that some people thought we were like actually mad at each other. It's so funny because, like, you know, I will say this, there is one major difference. You know, obviously, a lot of you know by now, I grew up in New York. So my radio station growing up was The Fan in New York City. And it's pretty much all yelling and screaming. It's pretty much 24/7, 365. You know, it was obviously inspired by Mike and the Mad Dog, the sports talk radio pioneers of, you know, them just screaming and yelling. They had a 5.5 hour show every day. And
that's
all they didn't have. They had barely any guests. All they did was take phone calls and scream at each other for 5.5 hours every day.
It's so funny. So, like, there's a spot when I was at Georgia State, there's a sandwich shop called Ruben's Deli. Love that place. It's one of the best sandwich shops in Atlanta. But I go there a lot, and I brought my girlfriend there one time, and it's run by a guy who's from New York, and he runs it like a New York style shop. So he's very quick, like, hey, what do you want? Like, let's go, keep it going. And like, she was in there like almost frazzled, like,
oh yeah. If you go up to the counter and you start hemming and hawing, like they're gonna
next. Yeah. Like, and she was like caught off guard. She was like, oh my God, he's rude. And I'm like, no, that's just
New York. That's what
it
is. And that's everything. And including sports talk. So like, you know, when I first got here, I had to tone it down a little bit. Cause like, you know, it's not, you know, On topics like this, it brings out the New Yorker in me because I'm like, damn it, Kirk Cousins, what are you doing? All right, 404-726-0929, full lines. Let's not waste any more time. Coleman's in Winder. Coleman, how do we feel? Does he got to go, or can you actually stomach him being the backup?
I mean, what is it a big deal to you? I really don't care, man. I mean, we got Michael Vick Jr. right there. He's going to be – he's probably going to win us the Super Bowl, and he's probably going to win us about
Hang on, Coleman, and I'll let you finish. You asked me if I care, and I do care because of what he did. If he didn't say anything – then no, I agree with you 100%. I would be fine. I don't care. What, right? Like, who cares about the backup quarterback? But the fact of the matter that he went on national TV and said he lied about being injured and that cost us the playoffs, that doesn't bother you?
No, let me try to reach out to him, write him a letter and see if, like, he cares or if anybody cares. I care about Penix and the future. And then who did you talk to earlier? Malachi Starks sounds great. And my friend just said on ESPN, we're probably going to get him. Nobody's throwing on that defense right there. We just need one more corner. And I just said, in the next spot, in about 5 years, I said, two Super Bowl rings, probably definitely one.
Wow, Coleman. I appreciate the phone call. Whatever you're enjoying tonight, make sure you send some to the studio. I need a sip of that, man. That is, talk about bold predictions. Coleman out of the gate, just
two
firing. Two in the next five. Come on, man. And, like, again, I don't know what Coleman's enjoying tonight, but clearly it made him feel pretty relaxed and not care about what Kirk Cousins had to say. Maybe you agree with Coleman. That's why we're talking about it. 404-726-0929. Let's go to our buddy Chief. Chief, what's happening?
What's happening, Chief?
What do you think, man?
I'm telling you what I think. I'm going to take you on a little journey right quick. Let's go back to free agency when we signed Kirk Cousins. I mean, I was excited. I don't know about everybody else. I was excited. I was ready to roll.
Yep.
I said, let's go with Kirk. We're making the playoffs. The season start. Pittsburgh Steelers. Awful game. I'm still behind Kirk, though, because Kirk got me believing, right? So we're going to move on through the season. We get to what? The Dallas Cowboys, we become 6-3. There's no way we're not making the playoffs, Chris. There's no way we're not making the playoffs. We're going through the season. We don't win a game for what? Almost a month? A little over a month?
Not almost a month.
Yeah. We get to the end of the year, he says, on NFL Channel, he says, oh, I was hurt. Wait a minute, Kurt. So you sold Chief and the rest of the Falcon fans who we had to endure a 28-3 comeback loss to the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, we're real emotional. So you telling us that you were hurt, but you said you weren't hurt. See, this, Kurt, I had your back, but you sold me the bill of goods. You know what I'm saying? You hoodwinked me. I was bamboozled, Chris. Led astray, huckle, buckle, hoodwinked. Don't play on my emotions, Kurt.
Chief,
I'm a Falcons fan. We don't like how emotions be played with.
Yes, Chief. 1,000%. Thank you for the phone call. Yes. He said it right there. Hoodwinked. Bamboozled. He ran you over. And then he backed the thing up and he ran you over again. Why? Why? Because he wanted to make himself seem more appealing. Selfish. Liar. Last time I checked, those are not two qualities I want in my locker room next to my franchise quarterback. Selfish liar. No.
You like that?
I don't. And nobody else should either. 404-726-0929. Yo is in Atlanta. Yo, what do you think, bud?
I am not going to lie. I am sitting here thinking to myself that I want to be mad, but I cannot be. Because it's business. It's not personal. And the thing is that if you tell me that you can tell me a better backup quarterback than Kirk Cousins that is available to us for less than $10 million, I might tend to agree with you. But we can't. And the issue is very simple. We will have to pay this guy whether or not he's on our roster. So he is a non-starter for me personally. Now, everybody who wants to be mad about it and say that, oh, this is disgraceful and all that, just remind yourself. Mike Vick lied about having a dog fight. We had to live through that. We are in a position where we have a quarterback who is amazing. We have a backup quarterback who would be the best backup quarterback in the NFL. And we don't have to do anything when it comes to Kirk Cousins until it becomes a time to have to do something about him. So do not trade him. Do not do anything. Do not lose leverage, because that's what bad teams do. If you don't believe me, ask the Raiders how they feel about not having a quarterback. Ask the Jets feel how they have about not having a backup quarterback. As a matter of fact, go back to the Eagles, who had Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, and Mr. Hurts all on the same roster at the same time. You need to hold leverage. And if you don't hold leverage, then guess what? You're going to be a sucker forever. Love you, Turtle.
No, I appreciate it, yo. Thanks for checking in as always. But I am emotional. But I am. And I can't change that. What Kirk Cousins did is not forgivable. In my opinion, it's just not. Like, it's just, I will take the drop off of whatever the backup quarterback is from Kirk Cousins to Gardner Minshew. Let's say you bring him in to back up Penix this year. Because I really honestly stand by the philosophy of, if your quarterback misses a game or two and you can't withstand that as an organization, you're not a championship organization anyway. And if your backup quarterback misses any more time than that, then it really doesn't matter. I mean, the circumstances in which any team in the NFL could withstand your starting quarterback missing more than, I don't know, Dom, three games, four at the max, maybe one or two teams in the NFL could withstand that. That's not something that's realistic anyway. 404-726-0929. So, yo, I understand your sentiment, and I understand your pragmatism, much like Abe, but nah, sorry. Gotta go. Bill is in Stone Mountain. Bill.
Turtle.
Yes.
I'm petty like the other guy. I want to ask you a football question in the All-Star game. I would let his ass sit on the bench and praise a starting quarterback, get injured, and somebody call us and offer us maybe a fifth or fourth rounder. I would let his butt sit on there, and I wouldn't even give him a helmet so he could put a damn helmet on and step up on the line and like he's going in. Back to the All-Star game. The only the way you can make that All-Star more enjoyable, I would take the G League players and the first-year players and offer the winning players $150,000 each, and the losing player $50,000. But you got to put some in there to protect them, because I remember when Edwards of New England from Georgia went out there playing volleyball and tore his knee up and lost out on a career. So they would have to give them a larger London contract where they'll get $10 or $20 million cash free, and then grandfathered in on a pension, because no player
Yeah, Bill, I appreciate the phone call. Your line was breaking up there at the end, but feel free to check in anytime. We'll get to this a little bit later in the show when we have some more time, but I actually didn't mind the All-Star format. They just need to change how they do it, meaning the actual execution of it. Because there was... You've been hearing the same refrain all day long if you've been listening to the radio station. This is something I actually do agree with Abe on. Format good, execution bad. Meaning there was way too much stoppage time and you got to tighten it up. I can't be having a game that's played to 40, which takes 6 minutes, be a three-hour broadcast. That's just not going to fly. 404-726-0929. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Do we do it? I mean, he's next. So technically, I guess we'll do it. Mel is in Southwest Atlanta. Mel?
You know what? Don't get me to start cussing. Them last two calls talk about keeping him. He needs to be run out of town starting now.
No, I agree. Mel, I agree with you.
We don't need him around.
Yes.
We don't need him around this team. He need to be. He should have. Look here. After the interview, he should have been packing up his clothes, whatever you have, around the team should have been gold then. I don't know what's wrong with them two callers.
I agree, Mel. You know
you,
what?
You know, you were asking the other caller what he was all drinking or smoking.
Yeah.
I think the last two callers, what you just had, they out of their mind. No, they're smoking crack. Because this guy calls us. I'm going to put it this way. He calls this team not to make the playoff, man. You know the last two callers understand that?
No, I don't, as a matter of fact. No, I don't think they understand that.
No, they don't understand. I'm going to tell you why he kept his team because he was a black quarterback. I'm just going to put it that way.
Oh, Mel, that's where I got to run just because we're up against the break. You had me. That was the best Mel call I ever had until the end. Mel, it has nothing to do with race. Why? We always have to go there. Guys, let's keep the main thing the main thing. But before that last sentence, far and away, the best Mel call I ever had. Mel and I usually, I will put it politely, do not agree on a lot of things. A carpetbagger I have been called many a time. But Mel, tonight, bravo, sir. Brava. I agree 1,000.
Like that?
Yes.
You like
that? That I do. Mel in Southwest Atlanta, everybody. Love it. Agree with him 1,000%. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. Going to take more calls at the bottom of the hour. Coming up next. Oh, let's get a little palate cleanser. I think Atlanta United is going to be really fun this season. I think the Benz is going to be rocking, and we're going to be out in full force representing. Let's talk with Jason Longshore next. 404-726-0929 is the number. Many of you have used it already this evening. Hit me up on Twitter at CThomasRadio. If you can't get through, we'll take more of your calls on Kirk Cousins. Guys, he's got to go, in my opinion. You can't keep him. That's irreparable harm done to the organization and his image in it by doing what he did the week of the Super Bowl. Or if you disagree with me, some callers have said that, you know, business is business and he can ride the pine and be the backup quarterback. I just completely disagree. I don't want that anywhere near Michael Penix Jr. More of your calls coming up, 404-726-0929. But on a much lighter note, what I think should be a really fun season coming up, Five Stripes. I think they're back, baby, with some of the offseason acquisitions that we'll talk to our next guest on the WadeFord.com hotline, Jason Longshore. Jason, I am pumped for this season to get underway. First of all, explain this one to me. The other day, because I came on right after, you essentially did something that I didn't know was possible, where two teams decided to say, hey, you want to just play another 45 minutes? And they were like, okay. And so they did. And you called 175,000 minutes of football.
Yeah, it's crazy. Ronnie Dyla mentioned it to the media on Thursday before that. He said that when I asked him about the game and kind of what he was looking for out of it, he's like, we're going to play three halves. And I'm like, what? How is that possible? What is that? I thought they're going to play like three 30-minute segments, which happens in preseason sometimes. It allows you to make, you know, wholesale subs if you want to, those sorts of things. But the reasoning that Ronnie and the Dallas manager, Eric Quill, made in this, it makes sense. You know, they both have pretty deep squads. They wanted to, the last week of preseason, get everybody on the same page in terms of minutes played. They didn't want to play the starters for 70 minutes, which is about what both teams did in this game, and then have guys that you're going to need off the bench in the opener and early in the season. And didn't want them to be behind on fitness. So both teams agreed to it. They kind of pump faked this on having a second halftime. They did about 5 minutes and then switched guys over, so it was a little chaotic, but Jared Smith and I called 135 minutes of soccer. We called a goal in the 133rd minute. I've never seen that, or probably will never again.
Yeah, that's something you can add on to your highlight reel, something that you'll remember for all time. All right, it's been a really busy, active offseason, from new coaching hires to new talent being brought in. Summarize it for us as we head into match one.
A lot of highlights. I think there's some moves that are maybe right underneath the surface that are going to be really important too. But look, you add two players in Miguel Almiron and Latte Latt, and you're talking about over $30 million in expenditure. A large amount of salary will go out to those two players as well. The way that this league is structured, you know, when you spend that kind of money on designated players, you need that kind of production. And there's going to be pressure on Miguel and Latte Latt as well, because they're going to, along with Alexi Maranchuk, who I think both of them make Alexi better, and with Saba Lobjanidze, who's just a rock solid, you know, nonstop runner, bleeds for the team, everything that you want in that kind of a player, he gives it to you. That's your attack. That's your attacking quartet. And it's as good as anybody in the league, even including the pink team down in Fort Lauderdale. It's that good. It's very different than that team. It's not as old. It's much faster. Maybe not quite as skilled as a guy who could be the best to ever play the game in Lionel Messi, but you look at the durability of that group that you would expect. You look at the just out-and-out speed of that group, especially with Latte Latt and with Almiron. You look at the ability to defend high up the field, and that's going to be such a key factor for this team. We often talk in soccer about separating the attackers and the midfield and the defense. The way that Ronny Dyla wants this team to play, the attackers better defend as well as the defenders. And it's about where they're doing it. You want to be disruptive to the opponent. You don't want to let them build up the play cleanly. And you want to force some turnovers in the attacking half. And Latte Latt, Almiron, Saba are three guys who kind of thrive in those situations. So I like the building blocks. Don't forget about the addition of Mateusz Klich, though. I think he's going to be really, really vital to this team. He's essentially another designated player because he's listed as that for DC United. They're in a rebuild. They were willing to let him go for basically nothing. You bring him in, and you add him in that midfield with Bartosz Ślisz. You're talking about, in my opinion, with the attacking, with the starting lineup. Let's just go with that. You're talking about guys in Almiron, Maranchuk, Saba, Klick, Amador, and Lennon. Six players who are all capable of double-digit assists. Chances will not be a problem for this team. It's about putting them away, and that's why you bring in a guy like Latte Latt to score, hopefully, in the 20 goals a season kind of range.
You mentioned the new manager, Dyla, there. Why him? What is it? What about him and his coaching style and his temperament was the right decision for this club?
I like that he's got three league titles in three different parts of the world. You know, in the Norwegian league with a definite underdog sort of team, with a favorite in Celtic in Scotland that you're supposed to win with, and he did, and with New York City. Here in MLS, so he's got that MLS experience as well, and I don't think he had the most talented team that time around. I think they were kind of in the middle of being a serious underdog, like his Norwegian league title, and being an absolute clear-cut favorite, like his Scottish league title. So he can adapt, and that's what I like about him. He has things that he wants his team to be. He has those principles that he wants his team to play with, and I think a lot of it is going to revolve around nonstop effort, nonstop intensity on and off the ball. Those are non-negotiables. But I think he can adapt to the pieces that he has. And in the attack, especially, I think there's going to be a lot of questions of him about, you know, what about Almiron on the right side? Or what about him playing in the middle? Or if he's on the right and he's in the middle, what does that do? And what if he's on the left and Saba moving around too? Like, don't worry about that. I think he's going to give the players in the attack the ability to have freedom, to create, to go find the game. The flip side and the trade-off of that is when the ball turns over, immediate defensive pressure and organization. So he's going to, in my opinion, be very clear with the players, very fair with the players. You're going to be able to play your game when we have the ball. Yes, we want to space the field out. Yes, we want to do certain things, but game dictates for Almiron, for example, to cut through the middle because that's where he sees the open space. Take it. Go put a goal in the back of the net. Go create a goal for somebody else. But when the ball turns over, my trade-off for you is I expect every single ounce of energy you have to be put into winning the ball back high up the field. And if the players do that and the players perform the way that they're all capable of, this is a team that can win MLS Cup.
Wow, that's a bold proclamation right there. We'll follow up on that in just a bit as we're talking with our good buddy Jason Longshore here, analyst for Atlanta United on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Before we get into that and the expectations of the club, when Garth Lagerwey takes a step back and looks at this roster top to bottom, how close do you think it is to what he envisioned putting together when he first came here?
I think it's pretty close. I don't think there's any real area of massive concern. You've got depth. You know, Dyla has mentioned in preseason that he's happy that he's got, you know, over 22 guys, you know, that are all capable and have all gotten minutes in preseason. You know, you put together a second 11, it's very good and it's got a good bit of experience. I think he's pretty happy with what he has to work with. And I think, you know, beyond just the talent level and the depth, I think he's got the right mix of personalities, and that's always the hardest part. You know, you can go see a talented player and you can go spend the money to sign him, but fitting the right talented players together in harmony. And look, you were talking about it before, you know, I'm with you on Kirk Cousins at this point. That could be a distraction in the locker room. Forget his ability as a quarterback. That can be a distraction, what he said, how he's handled things, and you don't want that to be an issue for the team coming together. Same with soccer. You got to have the right personalities, and I think you do with a guy like Almiron, who is a leader by example, a guy like Latte Lats, who is just, I think he's, you just see him and you're like, he's going to be a guy who fits in. You've got guys like Sean De Silva who just put the locker room at ease. You've got the vocal leaders like Brad Kazan, Derek Williams. It's a really good mix of personalities. And I think that's that underrated element that's so hard to get. And when you get it, you have to protect it. And I think this is the right group of people to do it. And Dial is the right guy to lead them.
All right, so you mentioned before you think this team has the chance to compete for the ultimate prize. Where do they stack in the pecking order right now in terms of the entire MLS, and who are the clubs that you think they'll be competing with towards the end of the campaign?
Let's go over to the West real quick. I think Seattle's the best team in the West. I think they're the best balanced team. A lot of talk about LAFC, a lot of talk about LA Galaxy, who are the defending champs. The Galaxy are missing their, I think, most important player in Ricky Pooch, who tore ACL in the conference final last year. So maybe he's back late this season. Unlikely. Marco Royce can play that position and do really well, but he's a little bit older. Can he hold up over a whole season? Can he play the level that Ricky did last season? I don't know. They also swapped number 9, Dejan Jovic. He goes to Kansas City. They brought Christian Ramirez in, a couple years older. Can he hold up? We'll have to see. LAFC, I don't think they're better. I think they're worse than they were last year. I think selling Mateus Bogus to Cruz Azul in Mexico are old friends who purchased Yorgos Yakimakis. I think that hurts them. I don't think it makes them any better. I think Seattle added. I think they're very deep. I think they are very well balanced. I think they're the best team in the West. But in the East, I think Miami and Atlanta are better. And, you know, it's hard to say that Atlanta is worse than Miami because they beat them in the playoffs last year and now they have a better team. But it's also hard to say that Miami isn't the favorite because of what they did in the regular season last year, or they were the best team ever in Major League Soccer history. I kind of look at it as a little bit of a 1A and 1B situation. In the East, I think Cincinnati, especially with adding Evander from Portland, they did sell Lucho Acosta. I don't think Evander is at the same level as Lucho. I think Cincinnati is a step back from that top tier. I think the Red Bulls are the closest team to the top tier in the East. They got to stay healthy. They were a far different team with Emil Forsberg as their number 10 than when they didn't have him, and he missed most of the season, but he was there at the beginning and he was there leading them to MLS Cup and losing to the Galaxy. The Red Bulls are pretty close. So I would say your top three in the East are Miami, Atlanta, and Red Bulls. I think Seattle is the team out West that can win it all. There could be moves that change that, especially in the summer, but that's what I'm looking at right now. It's three teams that have a legit stake at winning MLS Cup, and it's Seattle, it's Miami, and it's Atlanta.
All right, Jason, appreciate the time as always. I think there's as much buzz going into this season as there has been in a long time, and we'll be riding the wave with you all season long. You and Mike Conte on the calls. We'll talk soon.
It'll be very exciting. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that is Jason Longshore again. I am pumped for this season for Atlanta United. I think they're going to have a very strong campaign. Jason thinks they can compete for it all. You just heard it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. If not, grab a line, 404-726-0929. Do you agree with me? Kirk must go. I don't care. Picks be damned. You're not getting any anyway. Money be damned. It's a sunk cost anyway. You got to pay for the salary. No one's taking it off your books. Where's your pride, as Mike Pell likes to say, quoting Al Pacino? He embarrassed you, and he needs to go. I don't want him near Michael Penix Jr. I don't want him near Raheem Morris. I want a clean break from this cat. 404-726-0929. Or do you disagree? Do you feel like he could ride the pine, and he'll have to be just fine? 404-726-0929. Your calls. Plus, Dom's going to get me 5 second-half questions for the Atlanta Hawks. What is the potential of this team? We'll tell you next. Can you stomach seeing that 18 jersey out there again? Maybe you can. I can't. Maybe you can, though. 404-726-0929. That's what we're talking about. Maybe you can. Maybe you feel like, you know what, Turtle? Damn the emotions. I'm going to be robotic on this one, and I'm going to say, ride his ass on the pine. All right. I don't want him anywhere near Michael Penix Jr. and Raheem Morris. Get him out. I don't want that. I don't need that. What was the phrase they used about Russell Wilson? Toxic positivity? Because that's what Kirk O'Change is bringing you if he's back here in the ATL. 404-726-0929. I don't want it, man. I'll take Tyrod Taylor. I'll take, you know, whoever the 2025 version is of Matt Barkley as my backup. Because, again, if Michael Penix Jr. is out for more than a game or two, it's a wrap anyway. Like, the notion that having Kirk Cousins as your backup is like a savior to your season? No. Because if Michael Penix Jr. misses more than a game or two, everything is in the crapper anyway. I don't subscribe to that theory. You know, the Chad Henne situation in the playoffs a couple of years ago that saved the Kansas City Chiefs season, that's the outlier. That's not the norm. The norm is maybe your backup has to play a half or a game or, God forbid, two. If it's more than that, what are we doing? 404-726-0929. Swede is up first. Swede, my friend, what do you think? Can you live with Kirk as the backup?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm good,
well,
man.
Good. First of all, I just want to say my thought on Cousins is he's duplicitous. That's a good word for him. He comes in here from, what, Minnesota. Oh, he's healthy. There's no problem with his Achilles or whatever. He goes in. He has one great game, the 500-yard-plus thing. Then all of a sudden he fades away. Well, they finally put Penix in a little bit late, I might add. But anyway, they put him in there. And now Kurt shows up afterwards, and he's, he's soliciting himself for a new position with
yep.
somebody. I'm healthy. I'm great. Everything is fine. What a liar. He pulls something like that off, and he can't go back into the locker room. And what Abe Gordon said, you can't say that he's going to be accepted in there. That is just not going to happen. So there's an old song saying, the train won't wait. And my attitude toward that is, Kirk, get on the train. It's time to leave town.
Yeah.
Love your show, Chris. Thanks,
sweet. Buddy. Appreciate you as always. We'll talk to you soon. Agree 100%. I don't agree with Abe, man. I mean, maybe some of the play, but here's the thing. Why risk it? We don't know, but why risk it? That's the thing. This team is on the verge of creating a nucleus that it hasn't had since prime Matt Ryan and Julio. You want to screw that up? Why? because of Kirk Cousins, who also took a blank on your franchise? Also, he did that too. And you want to risk bringing him back? I don't know how the locker room is going to respond. Why take a chance on it? To be a backup quarterback? No. Cannot win with him. Thank you, coach. 404-726-0929. John in Snellville. John.
Hey, Chris. So I agree with you 100%. Kirk Cousins does not need to be on this team. He's already shown his colors and his stripes and everything else about him. However, I'm a bit more vindictive than most people are. If I'm Arthur Blank, I pay him. I keep him on the team, but I clean out his locker. I don't let him anywhere near the locker room. I don't let him anywhere near practice. He's a cut on every single game. He's not going to play for anybody because I don't want him having an opportunity to make better for himself. I'm going to punish him by making him not sit on the pine. I'm going to make him sit at home.
No, John, I appreciate the phone call. If that's an option, hell yeah, I'm about it. I just don't know the rules. I'm going to be honest with you, John. I just don't know what's possible and what's not based on the league rules. But, John, love where your head's at, buddy. Hell yeah. Let's snake oil salesman this one. I would love to if I could. I just don't know what the rules are. I don't know if you can keep a player on the roster, pay him, but not have him suit. I just don't know what that entails. But if that's an option, oh, yeah.
I mean, if you're paying him, I feel like you can kind of do whatever you want.
I suppose you can. I just don't know for sure.
Like, hey, we're going to pay you, but, like, don't show up.
So, like, go away.
Go away. We're going to pay you. We're going to keep you on the roster. You're going to have a spot, but just
go home.
Take the season off.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. I wonder, because then I bet you his camp is going to do everything they can to try to find some loophole that says that, because, you know, he's too high profile of a name. Like, if this was, like, Jace McClellan. Or like, you know, yeah. Jovan Gwynn.
You could probably get away with that
because they can't really create too much of a stink. But look what Kirk was able to do. That's such a perfect roundabout way to get back to the whole thing. Look what he was able to do because of who he is. He was able to get an interview on Super Bowl week on national media on the biggest stage with millions of people listening and watching. And he said, screw you, Falcons. Screw you. And he actually said words I can't say on the radio. 404-726-0929. Bob, what do you think, Bob?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, man.
Hey, I remember you during the course of the season saying that Cousin wasn't moving and that he was kind of just planted in the pocket.
Yep.
Cousins is not he's a under-center quarterback. And it's like the offensive coordinator maybe should have put some plays in for him to go under center. I've just started to root for the Falcons because I just moved here a couple years ago. And I don't think he needs to be on the team anymore.
No, I agree with you 100%, and I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in, Bob. I'm sort of – the one thing I am over is sort of all the in-season stuff because – some of that was his fault. Some of that was Zach Robinson's fault. Some of that was Coach Raheem Morris's fault, you know, in terms of the pistol and the shotgun and the under center and how healthy was he when in terms of – I'm not talking about the stuff he talked about the week of the Super Bowl. I'm talking about initially at the beginning of the season, how healthy was he. You know, I don't think that talking about that stuff is really relevant anymore considering – the focus on those guys now needs to be Michael Penix. Like, whatever happened with Kirk is just so beyond at this point. I'm just more concerned about the fallout from what he said the week of the Super Bowl because that has a direct impact on your future now. And right now it's not good. 404-726-0929. Thanks, Bob, for checking in. Let's go to Josh.
Hey, man, how's it going?
What's up, Josh?
My thoughts aren't quite as harsh as some people's. I don't think we need to let him sit at home for the season. But, you know, you got to admit that what he did was underhanded. right? At the very least, even if you want him to stay on the team, you have to see that what he did was specifically, nobody called him to ask for that interview. He went out and got it.
Yep.
He wanted to say those things on air. And he wanted to say them for his agenda. The same way that he came out before he came to the Falcons saying, oh, I'm healthy. And we all saw how that went the first few weeks of the season. Did he get better? Sure, but when he came here, he absolutely wasn't healthy. He was shopping for a job back then, and he's shopping for a job now. If he's shopping, let him buy, but let him buy somewhere else. That's my two cents.
No, I appreciate it, and I agree. He needs to find a new home, but at the Falcons' behest, not at his. I'm not doing anything to allow him to dictate his own terms. Not happening. Sorry, bud. We'll cut you when we feel right, and then see you. And you can go do whatever you want. But in terms of a trade, it's not happening. And it's not happening because you're not going to get anything for him. I'm not trading him to the Raiders for a seventh-round pick so he can go start there. If he ultimately winds up at the Raiders because we cut him eventually, okay, that's one thing. But I'm not trading him to the Raiders. That's not happening. All right, one more before we catch a break here, 404-726-0929. Joe.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, so did we ever find out what was lost in translation between, right, the trainer or, right, the head coach or Cousins? Like, who was lying regarding, like, obviously he came out saying that he wasn't healthy during that stretch. Did we ever figure out, like, who was to blame for that?
You know, it's funny you say that, because this is what I said when this all initially happened. What we'll never know is the following. If Kirk Cousins went to Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot after the training staff and said, guys, I'm hurt, and then they went to Arthur Blank with that information and had one of their infamous collaboration sessions, and the end result was, I don't care if he's hurt, if he can play, which obviously he could, but he couldn't play well, we're paying him $100 million guaranteed. So he's going to play until his arm falls off. Or if he didn't go to coach after that, kept the information to himself, and they still look bad, because then you go on national television and say, I'm hurt, which makes the coach, the training staff, and the GM looks like a bunch of doofuses, because how do you not understand that your franchise quarterback is hurt? The unfortunate thing about that, Joe, is we'll never know, because they'll never admit either of those things.
Right. And that's what sucks about that, because now the organization as a whole looks really bad now. And then if you're a incoming guy, it's like, oh, now we got this Kirk Cousins guy just literally doing whatever he wants when we're trying to win games. And I just don't think – I can't see how Raheem didn't know. And then it goes back to, like, you know, being coaches and the staff and the scouting department of, like, you know what you got when you were 6-3, and then the ball's going to come out of his hands differently. So I really just feel like it's just all the coaches and the GM's fault. They should have benched him earlier, honestly.
But again, the thing is, Joe, we don't know if he was neutered on that, and we'll never know. Raheem could have went to Arthur Blank with Terry Fontenot and said, hey, man, yo, this guy is broken, and we need to turn to Penix. And the collective collaborational decision could have been, nah, we just paid him $100 million. We're never going to know that. But the thing is, that was laid to bed. That was done until Kirk opened his fat mouth again on national TV. That's the problem with this whole thing, Joe, is that Kirk reopened this Band-Aid because he decided to open his mouth. If he didn't say anything and just let the offseason play itself out, there would have been no harm, no foul. But because he had to race to the finish out there and get out there with this take that he's rehabbing and he's going to be healthy next season, and he was hurt last year, and that's why he sucked towards the end of the season, it reopens these old wounds. That's why I'm so pissed. That's the crux of this issue.
Yeah, that's bad. And guess what? I go back to some of your other callers. Man, I would definitely go ahead and just I mean, ride the pine and let Penix start. And then if he still is, like, the best Kirk Cousins he has been in the previous years, then maybe you can, he outplays Penix. And then
But Joe, you want him, I just don't want him within 500 feet of this organization.
Well, it's too late because obviously Fontenot ain't going to do anything about it.
Well, we don't know that. Joe and I got to run just because we're up against the break. We don't know that. They still have plenty of time. The league year hasn't started yet. They can cut him. And they're going to have to eat it, but they can cut him. So that's not true. They haven't done anything yet, which is what some people, and I heard Abe mention this a few times too, that's what some people were saying in terms of, oh, well, if they haven't done it yet, they're not going to do it. That's not true. Just because they didn't do it right away, they could have easily just said, okay, whoa, we just had this bombshell dropped on our feet. We're going to take some time. We know the drop dead date is in March, and we will, the post-June 1 thing, I guess, but nobody's trading for him. That's the thing. Nobody is trading for him. So we got to stop pretending like that's a reasonable thing to expect. Listen, can anything happen? Sure. I could win the lottery tomorrow. But it's just, why would a team, after the Denver Broncos laid out the foundation of how to do this with a quarterback who's being paid that can't be on the roster next year, why would any other team ever do anything different? Wait for him to get cut and pay him the veteran's minimum. Why? Why would you volunteer assets when you don't have to? That's what I was getting so upset with Mark Zinno about the other day. Mark kept pressing and pressing and saying that it's Terry Fontenot's job to find a trade partner. How? Who's going to do that? Why would a team volunteer a draft pick that those things are holy? They're sacrosanct. Why would you give one of those up when you don't have to? Unless you're desperate. But right now, there's no team that's desperate yet. Yeah, exactly. Hit the road, Jack. All right, 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, stay there. If you didn't get in, 404-726-0929. We'll also get in 5 Hawks, second half, true and false questions with Dom. Halfway home with you on a fast-moving show. Kirk, can he stay or does he have to go? Your calls are next.